My message is entitled, A New Person in Christ, A New Person in Christ. And my text is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 32. And I was just thinking about that, a new person in Christ. A new person in Christ. If you are a Christian, then you're a new person in Christ. You should be. Your life should have been transformed, empowered, and liberated by the cross. In fact, the Bible tells us this from 1 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone, any person, be in Christ, he is a new creation. And in the King James, they insert that, behold. It's like an exclamation mark. Behold, to get your attention. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And there should be new things in your life. There should be evidence of a change in your life. If there isn't, then you need to re-examine yourself. Self-examination is good. I can remember when I first got saved. Yes, I was changed. Things changed in my life. I was not that vile person I was or used to be. The first part of this chapter, that is chapter 4, describes the believer's relationship to the church. And now Paul deals with the believer's relationship to the world. To the world. And certainly we are in Christ and part of the body, but we are also in the world. And many times we are strongly reminded that we are in the world. We rub shoulders with evil every day. We are always constantly reminded that we are indeed in the world, an ungodly world, where there is temptation and defilement. How many of you ever feel like getting out of it? Lord, I want to go to heaven, but not just yet. I'd like to stay a while. Okay, we cannot depart from the world because we have a responsibility to witness to it. But we must walk in purity and not allow the things of this world to defile us. You must grasp the reality that as a believer, you are a new person in Christ. And I just quoted that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and I would like to quote it to you again from a different translation. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. And I'm sure that many of you can remember the times that a new life began for you when Christ came into your life. When he came into your heart, there was a change. Something happened. For me, it was alcohol. God took it away like that. I didn't have to try. I didn't have to strive for deliverance. Many drug addicts can testify to instant deliverance from drugs. God is a miracle-working God, and he changes us. He wants to change us. So let us take a look at this new person in Christ, and we'll begin with the walk of the heathen. The walk of the heathen are the ungodly people, the unregenerate, those who have not believed in Christ as their Savior, those who have not invited him into their lives, the unregenerate heathen people. And we find that in verses 17 to 19. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to licentiousness to work all cleanness with greediness. Paul starts with a prohibition. Do not walk, he says, do not walk the way of the unsaved heathen. Don't walk their way. And he explains the reason for their godless walk. Number one, their minds are darkened. Darkened because they believe lies and have not received the truth. And many people out there today, you know, you tell them about the truth. people are looking for truth. Christ is truth. In him is truth. And when we invite him into our lives, it's like all of a sudden, it's like a light is switched on inside of our brain. We begin to understand things. But they don't, because they are in the depravity and darkness of their sin. Their minds are darkened because they believe lies and have not received the truth. And number two, they are spiritually dead. I can remember the time that I was spiritually dead, when the things of God made no sense to me at all. I used to have a Bible. My mother used to say to me, "You should read your Bible from time to time." I can remember as a boy, I don't know why, reading from the Psalms. And they didn't make any sense to me at all. But the day that I became a Christian, when I became unspiritually dead, then things made sense to me. And I know that many of you can testify to that experience. You remember when you were once spiritually dead, but when the life of Christ came into you, something happened, something changed. You had understanding. You had the light of God within you. And number three, they have surrendered themselves to all kinds of sin, licentiousness. And I'm sure that many of you will agree with me today that things have really took a nosedive down in the morals. Television is filled full of sex and violence. There are things on TV that, remember when TV first came in the 50s? Who would have ever dreamt then that there'd be such smut on television? So we're being inundated with smut. And in our magazine, the whole emphasis of our society is upon sex and violence. It pervades every part of our society. Just recently, you heard of a pastor of a church here in the Lower Mainland who was convicted of child pornography. Who would have ever thought that? And priests violating children. But these things happen. The evil is intensifying in the world. It's like God is giving the devil a longer leash, and he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Christian life must be radically different from the old. Already gave you that verse of scripture. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation. Verses 20 to 24. And this is what Paul says. But, he says, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Then he goes on to say, then you cut off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And notice here that there are three putts. Three putts. How many of you ever gone putting? You ever gone putting with the golf? Put off. Verses 20, 22 to 23. He says, put off that old life. Put away your sinfulness. And put on the new. And we have it here. I have it outlined in my Bible. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. How many of you are aware that you have an old person within you? Have you ever had problems with that old man that lives within you? Our old carnal self. God saved us, but we still have the flesh to contend with. And that old man, that old person that lives within us, he rises up once in a while in us, doesn't he? And it can happen so quickly. In a moment of confrontation, we suddenly lose our cool, and we find that we are not so Christian as we should be. We are always having to put that old man down. He sometimes rises up and gives us thoughts. We contend with that old person, that old man, every day in our lives. He is always wanting to come up and take the forefront. And we're forever, as one person said to me once, hit them over the head and stomp on them and keep them down there. And we have to fight our carnal nature. We're not perfect. We don't reach our sinless perfection. We are always fighting against sin. And so it's an ongoing battle each day. We have to learn how to contend with that old man and keep him down in his proper place. Every time he raises up, just stomp on his head. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's a very familiar saying. Paul deals with that in Romans 12 too. So how can we become renewed in the spirit of our minds? Simply by absorbing yourself in the Word of God. We should read the Word of God every day. But many times we are so busy, we have things to do, there's work to be done, families to be looked after. We don't always have the luxury of getting up in the morning and leisurely spending time with God. But we should set some time aside to talk with God, to commune with God, to be silent before Him, and to read His Word, to renew our minds, to renew our minds. This morning I said, let's have a moment of silence, just to think. And sometimes we need to do that. Come before God with no request, no nothing. Just simply sit before Him and let Him speak to us. God, what do you want to say to me today? And have your Bible with you and begin to read it. And Gordon and I were talking about the revelation of the Bible the other day. And it's amazing how God can give you a personal self-revelation as you read the Bible. You're searching for an answer, you're searching for something, and all of a sudden the scripture will jump out at you and like hit you between the eyes, and you know God is speaking to me from His Word. It renews your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then it says here in verse 24, this is the second part, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. How can I be righteous and holy? With God's help, you can. It's not impossible. Put on that new man, that new person that God has made you to be. And then, verse 25, putting away lying. Each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. We were talking about Abraham this morning, and his poor testimony because of his deceitfulness and lying to Pharaoh when he gave Sarah to go into his harem. He lost his testimony with Pharaoh. And we can lose our testimonies with people too, because we lie, we say things that we shouldn't say, and we lose our testimony. We should guard the words of our mouth very, very carefully. We should guard our mouths well. Learn to bridle our tongue. Romans 6 teaches us that the old self has been crucified and buried, and that as we reckon this to be true, we put off the old man. We won't go into Romans chapter 6, but I mention it to you because if you're having trouble with the flesh, you're having trouble, read Romans chapter 6. It was like a personal revelation to me that I have been released from sin. I can have the victory over sin. I was reading Romans chapter 6 one day. I'd read it many times before. And then as I was talking about a self-revelation from the Bible, chapter 6 of Romans jumped out to me. And it talked to me about being crucified with Christ. Just like Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live. It's no longer I who live. I have been crucified with Christ. And that's what we need to remember, that we have been crucified with Christ. As I read that Romans, it became such a revelation to me that I knew I had the victory over sin. When you were saved, when the Holy Spirit came to indwell you, you became a new creation in Christ. And you have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and offered Himself up for me. Christ lives within you, and you have the victory. You have the victory over sin. Romans 6 is a wonderful, wonderful chapter. And Galatians 2:20. I think it's Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. God has done his part. He has given us the ability to have victory over sin. And it remains for us to believe what he has said and change clothes. Think about the analogy of changing clothes. Let me go on further. The instruction Jesus gave concerning Lazarus applies to each believer. Loosen, take off the grave clothes, let him go. Lazarus died. He was physically dead. And as was the custom with the Jewish people, they wrapped him up in grave clothes. And you remember the story. He'd been there 3 days. His body was decaying. And Jesus said, roll the stone away. And they said, but Lord, he'll be stinking by now. Roll the stone away. And then Jesus said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. And he was still wrapped up in his grave clothes. And Jesus says, loose him. Take off those grave clothes. And there's a good analogy there of us. He came out of the darkness of that cave, and we come out of the darkness of our sin. We are a new creation in Christ. And we take off the old clothes, the old life. But the problem is that some of the remnants of the old life, our former sinful life, still cling to us. We have not got rid of all the grave clothes of our former life. Some of them are still hanging onto us. And that's the problem that many Christians have, why they contend with sin so much and they never seem to have the victory. Because they're still wearing some of the remnants of their old grave clothes and they need to get them off. Jesus said, loose them, take off the grave clothes. And that applies to us. Some of us still have the remnants of that former life clinging to us and we need to get them off. But it's not enough simply to die to the old life. There must also be the resurrection and the manifestation of the new life. We put off the grave clothes of the old life and put on the grace clothes of the new life. We are part of God's creation, and therefore we walk in newness of life. Praise God. And I would just like to back up a little here and go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And this is what it says. This is what it says about our newness of life. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So Jesus has given us that forgiveness of sin and the ability to walk in the newness of life. So we are to put away your former way of life. Verses 25 to 32. Therefore, putting away lying, each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Does anybody lose their cool? Are you all got all good control of your tempers? You never lose it. The Bible says it's okay to be angry, but don't go to bed with anger. Let it go. Get reconciled to God or to whoever you are angry with. Put the anger away. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Nor give place to the devil. And remember, the devil is like a roaring lion. He walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be vigilant, be sober, for your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I listened to a preacher once say, you don't have to worry about the devil, he's a toothless old lion. Well, he isn't. He's got teeth, and he's out to get you. And he'll do any way he can to get you. He is a roaring lion, and he's got sharp teeth. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Be willing to share with others and to give to others. And that's one thing about our group here. We are all generous to one another. We help one another. And it was brought to my mind was when we had the memorial service for Mrs. Hardy, how you helped Leanna and I, and I would like to thank you again for your generous help in the memorial service. Thank you. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So we need to be careful of the words of our mouth, and it not necessarily apply to foul language or anything like that, or swearing. It's just how we speak to one another. Sometimes, even in jest, people sometimes take the wrong meaning to it. So we really do have to guard our tongue. Be careful what we say to one another. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So remember that each one of us who have received Christ as our Savior, we have that seal. The Holy Spirit lives within us. Always remember that. We sing that song, "Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee." When we sing it, we need to really remember. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. He has come. But oh, how we need to remind ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit who speaks to us in our quiet times. He doesn't force himself on us. He doesn't thunder at us with a loud, audible voice. But he speaks very, very gently. Very, very gently in a still, small whisper. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. It was once pointed out to me that when you're angry with somebody, when you have a bitterness towards them, they're not aware of it. They're going on their merry way. They're quite happy. You're the one who is taking it all. Your bitterness begins to eat up in you. The person who you're bitter against and unforgiving, they might be having a whale of a time. They're not conscious of you. You're only hurting yourself. Bitterness eats within us. Bitterness causes disease. How many times have you watched on the television a tragic event in some family's life? Someone has been brutally abused or maybe even murdered. And the family will say, "I can never forgive that person. I can never forgive." And they harbored up bitterness. It's hard to forgive. But as Christ forgives us, we also must forgive others. Get rid of the bitterness and the anger. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you. So we need to put away our former way of life and be renewed. I've written in my notes here, has this message spoken to you this morning? Has spoken to me. Perhaps it speaks more to the preacher than it does to the hearers. Because as I prepare the message, I get the message more than you, perhaps. So God speaks to me too. Perhaps even though you may be a Christian, you have not yet relinquished all your former way of life to God. There is still some vestiges of that old way of life still hanging on to you. The grave clothes, like Lazarus. Perhaps you're not fully loosed yet. You struggle. You struggle being right with God. You doubt sometimes. You might doubt God's love. And God, I can never get the victory over this. And you know, we all struggle with things. We need to get rid of everything that encumbers us. Cast aside every weight. Cast off the old grave clothes. Make sure now that we're clinging to us. And that we are that new person in Christ that Christ wants us to be. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new person. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have. So, as we sing together this familiar chorus, I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Rejoice in the knowledge that you can, with God's help, become that person in Christ that he wants you to be. It's not impossible.
God richly bless you for taking the time to listen to this CD. It is trusted that your heart has been edified to a deeper walk with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. If we can be of any assistance to you in praying for you or speaking into your life the love of Christ, please do not hesitate to email me at nesmer@aol.com. Or if you have a special prayer request that you would like to get to us directly, you may phone me at 604-760-7552. On behalf of the congregation at Harvest Church, Maple Ridge, I invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 for our regularly scheduled services. On the first and third Sunday evenings at 6:30, we have our hymn sing and our film night. You are cordially invited to join us if you are in the area. Remember, the supreme love of Christ is exemplified through a godly life of submission that is always followed through with obedience to His call. God richly bless you, yours in Christ, as we work together with Him for kingdom advancement.